You're listening to The God Journey, a place where people thinking outside the box of organized religion can share thoughts and conversation along the journey. Here are your hosts and fellow travelers, Wayne Jacobson and Brad Cummings.
Well, this is Wayne Jacobson again without Brad Cummings. Unfortunately, Brad's not with me on this trip. I'm actually in Washington, D.C., and this morning in Bethesda, Maryland. And some of you have written us over the time saying you really enjoy Brad and I talking about things, and you love the wives when we had them on. You thought that was fun. But some of you wanted to hear more from a woman's perspective of this journey. And I'm actually staying in the home of Mike and Lynette Woods in Bethesda, Maryland. Hi, Lynette.
Hi.
And Mike's working today. You know, some people got to do that working thing. And so Lynette and I are hanging out with the kids here a bit before I move further upstate into Maryland this afternoon. Sarah and I met Lynette and Mike for the first time a couple of years ago now. We were in Wellington, New Zealand, and you guys invited us to come by, and we spent a few days in your home and went on a penguin search, as I recall.
That's right.
Because Sarah has that disease. And what did you see in Wellington? We saw the director of The Lord of the Rings. We saw his place from
That's
the street.
Correct, yes.
What's his name? I forget now.
Peter Jackson.
Peter Jackson. I couldn't come up with the last name. And your husband, he works for the Ministry of Education.
Yes, that's correct.
And yeah. So he's out of the embassy now here in Washington?
Yes, New Zealand embassy.
For
yes.
How long?
4 years.
4 years? And how long have you guys been in the States?
Oh, dear. 3 months almost.
3 months?
Yeah.
So how's it going? Is it okay living in America?
It's okay.
Okay. So we're looking at a woman's perspective today. We get a foreigner's perspective, a Kiwi from down. But you didn't grow up in New Zealand. Where did
no.
you grow up, Lynette?
Well, I left New Zealand when I was 3 because my parents went to missionary training college in Tasmania. So some of my first memories are of Australia.
And most people think Tasmania is in Africa, but it really is an island south of Australia. Is that right?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay.
And New Zealand's not part of Australia either. We need to make that very clear.
I notice New Zealanders make that more clear than Australians do. But yeah, it's kind of like the whole Canada-America thing.
That's it is, very much.
Very
yes.
similar to that.
Because we're so small compared to Australia.
In fact, wasn't your Prime Minister of New Zealand said one time, anybody who leaves New Zealand for Australia increases the IQ of both countries?
Very good. You remembered that.
It's fabulous. I think it's a great slap at everybody all at once. So, again, admire somebody that can do that. Takes a politician, I guess.
Yes.
So, is it okay here in the States? People treating you all right? You're getting kind of used to the American... You've been here visiting a number of times, your family, in the past,
yes,
right?
Yes, we have, yeah. Well, I kind of grew up in an American culture, but in Borneo, of all things, because my parents went there as missionaries when I was 8.
So, from Tasmania, you guys went up to...
We went back to New Zealand briefly for a couple of years and then moved over to Indonesia. And we were there till I was 18 and then moved back to New Zealand. So I'm not your average typical Kiwi, and you can tell by my accent. Well, New Zealanders can tell by my accent.
I was going to say, I can't
not.
Tell by
your
accent. Sounds pretty Kiwi to me.
Oh, that's good.
But you grew up in mission schools
I went to a CBFMS missionary school. Yeah.
A live-in situation.
Until, yes,
so you were separated
right.
from your parents yeah. for huge hunks of time.
Yes, from when I was 8 till I was 12. It went only to grade 8, and then I did New Zealand Correspondence School at home because my parents thought that I knew more about the States than my own country, which was correct.
Wow.
So I needed to get an education.
Wow. So you got it.
I got it.
Then you got married?
Not straight away, no.
No, I didn't mean straight away, but we're advancing through time here. We only got 30 minutes. Tell the story.
Yes. Met Mike at a camp, and we got married in 1986.
Okay. And then you got a couple of kids.
Yes.
And Kathy's
how
old?
Kathy's 14, and Steve is 11.
And Steve is 11. And they're doing all right here in America? That's what Steve said. I'm doing
yes,
all right.
Yes.
Just all right, I guess. But a few years ago, your involvement with... say Christianity, what some people call Sunday morning congregational kind of thing, and it took a big shift.
It sure does.
Tell us about it a little bit.
Well, middle of 1995, we were just very, very involved believers and what we considered to be born again, spirit filled, boots and all into everything that we could be. Yeah. And overnight, it seemed, God sovereignly woke us up, and it was as if we'd been asleep all the previous years compared to what we then experienced. And suddenly the Bible was like a new book. My relationship with God was totally new, and it was as if I hadn't really been alive before that point. It was almost like a born-again experience. It was just such a drastic difference between the two. And
What precipitated that? Is there?
I have no idea. You need to ask Father what it was. I don't know.
Oh, you're going to pull that on me. Ask Father.
Because I really don't know.
It's just you woke up one morning and things were different?
Well, not one morning. It was over a period of about a week or a bit longer, perhaps.
Okay.
But it just seemed very sudden like that. And you kind of thought, wow, why have I never had this before? And because I've been part of religion all my life, pretty much, and had encounters with God that I can definitely remember when I was 8 and when I was 12. But this, it was just something new and something completely different than I'd ever experienced before. And because I was hearing from God and seeing things in a different way than I never had before, I found that I was looking at things from a completely different perspective. And that was very uncomfortable because I'd never questioned things before in religion.
So part of this was a lot of questions that you didn't have.
It was. What I discovered was that because I was hearing the Holy Spirit and speaking to him, and he was challenging me on some of the things that I'd believed and grown up believing, and he would take me to the Word and show me what the Word really said. And it was quite a shocking thing, really, because I had never questioned a lot of the things that I'd grown up believing.
Hmm.
So,
can you give us a for instance? What was one of those things?
Tithing.
Okay.
Women submitting.
Women submitting. Good.
There was a number of things, but
I hear cheers all around the world. Yes. We got to learn something new about that. It's been used to really manipulate and exploit people, hasn't
there was,
it?
Right? There was actually a whole vast range of things, and part of it was about a baptism of fire that Father was teaching me about. And one of the themes of the mission that my parents went out with, which was an interdenominational mission, was C.T. Studd's statement of, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice could be too great for me to make for him. And that became reality in my life, yeah, at that point.
In what way?
Well, he was teaching me about a baptism of fire and the whole of you being burnt up completely, so that nothing of self is left and Christ lives in you.
Wow.
So it was a death versus resurrection sort of a thing.
Great. Now, was Mike going through something similar at the same time?
Yes, he was.
Fabulous. Yep.
And at the end of that year, we both came back from holidays, which you call vacation.
Yes, we do. But I like holidays.
And we both felt that we had this word, which was leave. And we didn't really know what this word meant. All we felt was that perhaps it meant leave New Zealand, or perhaps it meant leave the church that we've been involved in, the denominational church, or, you know, we just didn't know. But we also felt, along with the leave, that we were being called to something quite radical and quite different and quite new. But we didn't have a clue what. Not a clue. So we thought, well, what do we do with this? So our best friends were the pastor and his wife, so we thought, well, that's obvious. We'll go and discuss this with them because we feel that God is telling us this. So we did that, and we weren't prepared for the reaction we got because they took it quite personally and thought that we were being called out of their church, which, as it turned out, we were, but we didn't know that at that point.
Wow.
So that kind of started 3 months of visits from elders and visits from the pastor and his wife, and trying to sort us out, basically, because they didn't believe that we were hearing from God.
But these had been longtime friends.
Very much, yep.
And very close to you.
Yes.
And then you talk about this leaving thing. You're not even sure what it means.
Yes.
But suddenly now you're somebody to be fixed.
Suddenly we saw why we were being called to leave.
That's what became clear. I see.
Well, it did gradually, but we had a very strong call out, and we didn't really understand what to or whatever. And it was really interesting because in some ways I was like a baby just taking first steps in faith and trusting Father. And each time our pastor would come back with something like, you know, God doesn't do it, things like that. If he said to me, if he was really calling you to go somewhere, he would tell you where it was and give you the details and so on. And so I went to Father and said, is this right? It doesn't sound right to me. And Father said, look up Abraham. So I looked up Abraham. So I went back to the pastor and said, well, Father says, you know, what about Abraham? Because that's exactly what he did with
him. Yes. And then
I was a difficult customer for the poor guy.
I guess so. But when this process started, you weren't, as many people I think that we talk to on the show, feel like they are disillusioned with some things. They're not fitting in well. They they feel like they're not being, their relationship with Jesus isn't growing, or they're really struggling.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have those struggles
until you
felt like you, but you weren't even sure the leave meant leave that fellowship.
No,
other people
weren't.
Interpreted
no.
it that way.
Yes. That's correct. Yeah.
And then it became clear in the conversation.
It became clear, yeah. I had a couple of dreams that confirmed that we were to leave and when, which was at the end of March. So we're heading towards the end of March now, so it's a few years ago now.
Wow.
And so we did on the day that we felt Father wanted us to leave. And then we thought, now what? What do we do, you know?
Yeah. Because and in the end, did you get any support in that from people that you'd been in fellowship with for years and years? I mean, anybody say, gosh, we free you to this, we're excited for you, anything?
No.
It was all pretty negative. You felt like...
It was very negative.
That your whole life in Christ was being questioned, your whole ability to walk with God.
Yeah. And more than that, having grown up on the mission field, we had very close relationships with each other. With other missionaries and missionaries' kids and so on. And you grow up knowing that friendships and relationships are very, very important and are foundational. And I think in a setting like the church we're in, you kind of expect that that's what's going on there. But something like this happening, where they felt that we'd had a falling out with the pastor or whatever you want to call it. Everybody believes the pastor, of course. Nobody came and asked us what our version was. So, overnight it seemed we lost all our friends. And that was quite a difficult thing, because to me that proved that they were just very shallow and not really genuine friendships. We had one family that weren't going to that church at that point that were friends and have remained friends with us right through the whole thing. And the difference with them was, when we were called out of the church, this particular friend said that she was very tempted to just drop us as well, because that just doesn't look good, you know. And Father said to her, no, don't, because I'm doing something in them and I'm dealing with them and I'm calling them, so you just remain their friends. And they did, that particular family. But it wasn't, this was a bit further down the track. So.
Yeah, what a great gift.
But initially, yes, I very much appreciate that. Yeah.
And people say it so much. I mean, you go to an institution for a long time, you're very involved, you feel like you have very close friendships,
mm-hmm.
and then as soon as something happens that you're not on the same task, we
That's
call them
right.
task-based friendships. As long as we're on the task together, we're good friends.
Yes.
And the moment you step outside, I know for me it was the trend between being a hero here. You know, you're the apostle that planted this church and blah, blah, blah. You do what we want, we'll have more of that. And if you don't, then you're this wicked, rebellious... I mean, the line between hero and goat is just this little... It's whether you're conforming or not, I guess, comes down to that.
That's true.
And so and you guys... Oh, go ahead.
What's ironic for us is that at the same time that we felt a call to leave, we also felt called to leave New Zealand, and the place that came to mind was the States. So we felt that we had a definite calling to the States, but we didn't share that with our pastor and his wife early on, because... But the irony of it is that if we had, of course, they would have given us our blessing and, you know, we're sending them out to the XYZ or whatever, which makes quite a difference. And we often said that the hardest thing was actually staying in Wellington rather than having been called out of the city. You're still around the same people in the same area, and we were for years.
Because you could have left the area and still been a hero to everybody, and the relationships would have been great. Because God's moved you on. But somehow if you stay here...
That's right.
And I think from their side of it, oftentimes people, they feel rejected because you were here and now you're not here. So as much as we may feel rejected by them sometimes, I think the way we do this, they feel rejected as well.
Yeah.
So it's easier if you move away. They don't have to deal with the fact that you're still here, but we're not hanging out together every Sunday.
Yeah, that's right.
So when you spilled out of this thing... immediately you found lots of people like you outside, that you just found lots of fellowship with folks?
Oh, no.
No, it didn't work out that way. Well, how did it work out?
Well, what happened was, because we really didn't know what we had been called to, we thought, well, what do we do now? The obvious thing is you go and look for another church, right? So we tried that. So we went around from place to place, and we just didn't feel that we fitted in anywhere. Until eventually we went to a Pentecostal sort of charismatic church, and we felt Father say, I want you here just for a season and don't get too involved. So we were there for 2 years, as it turned out, but we just weren't involved in it all that much like we had been previously. And that was quite hard not to be, really, because we were used to doing stuff and helping out and things like that.
And Linda, I know you used pretty casually, you know, Father said this, Father said that. Do you hear voices in the middle of the night coming from your ceiling?
No.
Okay. I think it works very differently for all kinds of people, but how does it work for you? How do you and Mike feel like you sense these things that you're saying? You can finally conclude and look back and say, well, Father said this, but you're not hearing a voice out of the woodwork.
No, I've never heard a voice out of the woodwork.
Yeah, how do you describe it? Do you?
He speaks in so many different ways. I find it very hard to nail it down and say just this or that. It's knowing in your spirit, knowing in yourself. And that is a process, of course.
A fellow Kiwi, Jack Gray, a fellow Kiwi friend of mine,
He talks about a growing conviction over time.
Yes.
I think this is a great way. And that's how I think it happens for me. But in the end, you can turn around and say, well, this is what God said.
Yes, yes.
At the time, it's not like you can quote words.
That's right.
But the conviction makes that clear.
That's
good.
Great.
So you were there for a time with this group.
Yes, we were. Yeah, not very long. And then Mike got very, very sick. And the doctors couldn't find what was wrong with him. And he ended up almost dead in the emergency room. And his blood pressure was only 40 over 20, and they're all very worried about him. And he kind of came back, and they worked out what it was that was the problem. He had an autoimmune disease, Addison's disease, which is relatively rare. And it's easily treated, and they immediately began treating him, and he came right within 5 days or something after being very sick for 6 months. And during that time, we obviously didn't get to go along to the Sunday event very much, especially Mike. And at one point when he was very sick and then recovering, I didn't go for 5 weeks. And I was speaking to Father about it one day. I said, I feel really guilty about this. And I felt he said to me, why do you feel guilty? And I thought, because I'm not going to church. And he said, well, did I ask you to go there? Do I require you to? And that began a whole lot of searching.
Oh, wow.
So I started looking into the Word and asking Father, you know, what is this? And why are you having me question this? And that just opened up a whole realm of things which I'd never really considered up until that point. And then when I felt that Father was showing us that we didn't need to go along because he wasn't telling us we had to, we were free not to, I thought, this is really out there. I have never come across anyone who's ever even thought that Father has said anything like this to them. And I felt very alone and very isolated, and I thought, what is Mike going to think when I tell him?
Well, what did he think?
Well, I went, I quite clearly remember going in and telling him, and he was still in bed because he was still recovering at this point, and he said, I've come to exactly the same conclusion.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, so that was a real blessing.
And so part of this what you talk about is an awakening or waking up to this new thing, and part of it is really, as I'm hearing you talk about it, God's just setting you free from things that have been part of the baggage of what you carried before. And one of those things is obligation stuff about body life and feeling guilty if you don't do X, Y, or Z, as we say. Zed, as you guys say it.
Yeah.
So how did that go on? Did you guys stop going?
We did. We never went back after that because we felt that it was very clear that Father was saying that we didn't need to go. And that we realized that this was actually part of what he had called us to those 2.5 years before, in saying that, you know, he was going to lead us to something new and completely different and radical. And we thought, well, how more radical can we get? We're dumping the whole thing, you know?
Yeah. Now we're not doing any of it.
Yeah. And as part of that, Father started teaching me about what the church really is. And that has been a process, a gradual unveiling, if you like, which is obviously where the website name comes from.
Yeah, Lynette hosts a website, unveiling.org, and shares some of these kinds of thoughts we're going to talk about in a little bit. It's a good time to talk about now. You share some of the thoughts of your journey and that others are having that send you some thoughts about this kind of thing? On unveiling?
Articles from other people on there.
Yeah.
Ones that have spoken to me and I feel that Father wants us to, you know, share with other people. We've got some of those on there. But we never intended to have a website, of course. And it wasn't our intention. And but it kind of came in that period that I told you when the awakening sort of started. And I felt that Father was teaching me so much. And I started to write it down. And I'm not a writer. And but I felt as I wrote things down, Father kind of expanded on them and made things even clearer. And I just found that it was a way that he taught me, wasn't it, by me sitting down and writing, and he sort of made things even clearer for me. So I felt that he wanted me to write these things down to remind myself of what he was teaching me, to hold myself accountable to it. So that was where the writings came from, but I never knew that they were going to be
put on a website.
Yeah.
How long ago did you start unveiling?
1999.
Okay.
Early, it was January of 1999.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
And when you guys then left, finally, all of that and the obligation of being there.
Yes.
Did you find some connection with other believers right away? Did you go through a period of time where you guys felt lonely, or did you not?
Yes.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Definitely lonely. And we...
So you're all alone in the world?
Well, we did. We just didn't... We had no idea that the Father had ever done this with anyone in the past, the present, or was ever going to in the future. And we kind of felt very, very isolated, very alone.
Do you find yourself second-guessing some of that, or were you still very sure?
Okay. No, it was definitely second-guessing. But also, as I said before, it's that process of learning to trust God and learning to trust His voice. And that was very much part of that we went through, was saying, okay, this is definitely God, because this is exactly, you know, we're learning to know His voice and learning to trust Him.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you trust Him and the more you act upon that, the easier it gets in some ways in terms of hearing God and knowing His voice. So that, I mean, in some ways it was second guessing, and in some ways it was just part of the journey of trusting God more.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And how is that sorted out for you now? I mean, even before you, say, left Wellington a few months ago, but you have relationships. I mean, we visited you guys a couple of years ago. There were people that came out and hung out at the house with us. So obviously you weren't alone then. I mean, there's people that were around your life, at least, some measure.
Yes, in some measure, but not ones that really understood where we were coming from.
Okay.
In late 1998, we went on the web, onto the internet, and did a search. I don't have a clue what we searched for, but we didn't find Livestream.
Good. God saved you from that.
He did indeed. But we did come across some other websites, including Watchman.net, which is really very encouraging to come across other people who'd, you know, been there, done that, and we're in a very similar place in terms of God calling them out. Because we have felt so alone, and we didn't know that God had ever done this with other people. And we began to find that we had email communication with people. We got involved in an email list and met some people that way. And we found that we had these connections with people in the States, but didn't know anybody at all in New Zealand that was in a similar place to us. So we thought, well, maybe this is what Father meant when we felt He was calling us to the States. So maybe we'll try and make a visit over there. So that was when we had our first visit to the States in 1999.
Wow.
Yeah, we've still got some of those friends, still very good friends up in Montana and Illinois and in North Carolina.
Yeah, we talk about a lot of people that Lynette and I and Mike and Sarah, we've all corresponded with these people. You've met some of them that we have not met yet. And we've met some of them that you have not met yet.
Yeah.
But it's kind of interesting that way. So as the journey continues today, you guys continuing to have this awakening to things God's showing you? You
yes.
love where God's landed you
yes.
and the people. Tell me a little bit about how that works for you and your family right now, how you live this relational life out in Him and alongside
Well,
others.
It's still very much a journey. In some ways, it's quite different than early on because to start with, it was very intense and there was kind of a lot of things happening early on. In some ways, things are different now that we're a bit further down the track, and now that we've met more people as well, which is such a blessing, really, to meet other people who are in the same sort of place. And we just didn't get that at all in New Zealand up until you guys came and visited us. Actually, we'd had it must have been what.
In fact, we've been in touch with some people in New Zealand that you didn't even know.
I know. It's just incredible.
Great, great folks on this journey.
Yeah, and it's just, I think it was for us a very necessary part of the journey to be isolated and alone for all those years, because it made us depend totally on Him and far more on Him than we ever would have if there had been people around us at that point.
And do you find that makes relationships more healthy?
Yes.
I think a lot of the religious relationship is we're trying to get from each other what we're not getting from God.
God.
Yeah.
That's correct. Yeah.
And I think, boy, when people really, and for some people, that's, you know, people get upset and say, I'm really trying to find people. I need believers like this. You don't know that you need them. You may not need them now.
Yes.
Father may want you to Himself for a while.
Yes.
To really sort some of these things out so that when inner relationships come back into your life, they're not so need-based.
That's
it's not
true.
These people
that's
you need.
Right. It's not that
to.
Dependency. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Which if it's need-based, then I'm really exploiting you for what I need rather than just being free to love you and let God do what God does.
Yeah.
So that's quite a deal.
It is.
I'm hearing lots of voices in the back of my head screaming, let her talk about submission. I'm sure when you just threw that as a pass-off, because I think if you're a woman growing up in religion, it's twice as bad as if you're a man because of the things we've taught about submission, and which is really about exploiting people and men getting their way when they didn't necessarily shouldn't be getting their way.
Mm.
What? So I don't know. We've not talked about this, so this will be kind of interesting ground to forge with you. I can already hear Sarah saying, I love this. I love this. I don't even know what you're going to say. But what is it that you felt like has become clear to you about what Scripture teaches about submission and where God's asked you to live?
Well, it was at the point when Father had me looking at all the different meanings of things. So he was basically challenging religious beliefs that I had and showing me from the Bible that they weren't actually correct. And with that one, he led me to look into the Greek words. And I'm not a scholar, and I'm not particularly a studious type of person. It's really funny because Mike is these things, and I'm not.
Ah.
And Father used me in that way. So I went back and I looked, and I actually saw that the word submit did not mean what I thought it meant, and that the KJV particularly seemed to have quite a bias and a slant on it.
Ah, and King James Version biased, are you saying? By the way, that noise you hear in the background, that's Kathy and Stephen who are just, we're in a home, so the kids are having fun in the kitchen. You guys knock it off. No, I'm kidding. They're making something. Wow, they're getting ready to start cooking, so it may even get noisier in here. No, we're fine. We're about done. We're kind of getting there anyway. So what did it mean?
Well, we're told to submit to one another and to Christ, and I think that if you expect just a woman to submit, then there's a bit of a problem there. Hmm. I think it should be mutual, and it should be under God.
Absolutely.
So that's what it boiled down to. But it was quite different than what I had heard and what I saw the Bible saying, in a sense. But when I went back to the Greek, I discovered that it was quite different than what I thought.
And how did that change the way you and Mike relate?
In some ways it didn't, because we were already pretty much in that place. It was just one of those things that the church kind of taught that I needed to look at.
you guys weren't necessarily following it all anyway. I mean, you felt pretty mutually submitted just in your own relationship together.
Yes.
Ah. Then for Sarah, a lot of this journey for her has been, I mean, the Sarah, we always joke about the pre-94 Sarah and the post-94 Sarah, because they're not the same woman. And a lot had to do with things God was changing in her, but one of those things was that she never felt like she had a lot to add to a discussion like this.
Right.
And so submission for her, just quiet and let Wayne cover it. Or we'd make decisions, and I'd say, honey, what do you really think about this? And she would tell me what she thought I wanted to hear, because she thought that was what she was supposed to do.
What a good woman.
Yeah. Well, it was easier actually living with her then. But I was living with a shadow of who Sarah is, because she wasn't being honest. Completely honest about her thoughts and feelings. And I find that makes the relationship maybe easy, but very shallow.
Yes.
The Sarah I have now, we talk about things for a long time that we used to talk about very shortly.
Yeah.
But it's a more complete Sarah. It's a more complete person.
Mm.
I wouldn't trade this one for the old one, not for anything. So, but I think women have been kind of taught to go along, and sometimes particularly with husbands that are, you know, maybe even spiritually passive, and so they feel really trapped in an environment instead of that, you know, God can lead me and I can move on and be honest with my husband and watch him sort things out. And the submissiveness to one another isn't that we're letting each other control us.
No, that's right.
But we're giving respect and honor and place to each other. And I think that's much richer meaning than shut up and go along. You know? Even though shut up and go along sometimes is easier. So you continue to put stuff on unveiling that you're learning.
Yes. Yeah.
And I encourage you to check that out. We'll put a link on the website to there. And you also host another website I find very interesting. Your name's not on it. I had no idea it was you. And when we met first time, I didn't know. I think you'd written me and told me you were, and then I'd forgotten that connection. You host a website at austin-sparks.net.
That's right.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about Austin Sparks. I mean, some folks I know in this genre of living life in Christ have heard of him and find great compatibility and things they read. Other people go, who's Austin Sparks? I have no idea who he is. You have a whole website. We're just putting up writings of his.
That's right, yep.
They're unedited. I mean, you're not trying to edit them. You're trying to put as much up there you have of his.
Yes.
Do you have his did you have his permission to do this, or his family?
He died in 1971, so that was kind of tricky to get his permission.
I could have talked to him. Maybe you couldn't have. I could have. 71. Or his family, or is this just something that you kind of just...
Well, there's a group of believers, just a small group, 15 of them, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, who've been publishing his books for years and years. They're called Emmanuel Church. And they sent us a box of his books in 2001. And we had never heard of him and had never really come across his writings. And as when I first read them, I thought, wow, I've got to read more of this. This is what Father's been saying to us and doing in us. And it was just so encouraging and so... so establishing, really, because it was building on what God had been doing, that we ordered the books, and they sent us a copy of every book that ever published. And the more I read, the more I thought, these have to get out there because they're copyright free. And I thought they're an ideal thing to have on the web. And before we got the books, we'd gone looking for some of his articles and found virtually nothing on the internet. And so we thought, well, there's obviously you know, a real need there. So we felt the Father was saying, well, you know, you can set up a website and go for it. So, and there was far too much to put on unveiling, and we felt it really deserved something dedicated to just his writings. So we wrote to Emmanuel Church, and they confirmed that they were copyright free and said, please feel free to do what you've, you know, whatever you feel the Spirit is leading you to do. So we did.
Wow.
So we've been working on that for 4 years, and there's still more to go on. He was quite a prolific author. We put on about 3 or 4 articles or chapters each week.
Wow, and this is just a gift of love that you and Mike kind of just give away to the body of Christ. You kind of just put it up there and...
Well, I think it was given already. We're just kind of facilitating
it, really.
But your
work of it. Yeah,
yeah.
You're working
yeah.
it. What are some of the themes in his writings that you really enjoy that have been very confirming to you?
Yeah. The life of Christ is a big one, and discerning that life in others, and really concentrating on the life of Christ, finding the life of Christ in people wherever you are, rather than worrying about all the things that can divide, because there's very many things that can divide if you look at all the other things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas only one thing is really important.
So the centrality of Christ is really big in the things
right.
that he
and
writes.
And the cross.
And the cross.
Yeah.
And our relationship with him.
Yes.
So that's good. What's where's your growing edge these days? Is there something God's awakening you to freshly in this particular time? Or are you so busy getting settling in America that it's probably not on the front burner?
Well, I started writing something back in November, but I kind of haven't quite finished it. And that's spiritual warfare, but not as we've known it.
Mm.
Because so many of the things that I thought were the way you did things are just so not for me. And everything really has been turned upside down and looking at things completely differently. And this is just another one of those.
That's great. Do you have anything you would say? I know this wasn't true of your experience because you and Mike were pretty much in sync through this journey. Have you met women or talked to women who kind of are awakening to some of these things and their husband
yes.
may not be or yes. may even be hostile to it?
Yes.
What do you find God showing them? What do you find yourself saying that might be helpful to women in that spot? Anything?
It's a really hard spot to be in.
It very much is.
But... in any situation that Father has us in, it's for a purpose. And for some of those friends who are in that situation, I know they really appreciate having at least one or two other people that they can share spiritual things with. And I think that's kind of a lifeline for those sort of people. And that's something that we can be to each other if Father connects us with people like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I met guys like that who are hungry for this, whose wives aren't, who,
yes.
particularly when it comes down to what we do on Sunday morning. You know, they
right.
would want to go to a more traditional environment,
yes.
and the husband sometimes, or it can be the husband or wife, but the other partner's pretty conflicted about going because, A, they don't enjoy it, B, they're kind of seeing through some of the guilt manipulations that are used
yes.
to kind of embed people in religion. And yet I've always encouraged people to, I think what you're saying is great. Have some friends. I mean, just because you may even go there with your partner because
yeah.
you want to be there with your wife or your husband, and just be a support to what God's doing in them. So mm-hmm. you might go, but it doesn't mean you can't have relationships with some brothers and sisters, whether it's even on the internet or folks that God mm-hmm. may just bring across your life through some wonderful ways.
Mm-hmm.
And you can still meet with them, you know, once a week or go to lunch or do things that
oh, yeah,
help encourage
right.
that bit
so
of the journey.
As long as there is life there, I mean, life will be shared.
Yeah. I think I've always wanted to say to spouses, keep traveling together.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you have to see it the same way
yeah.
at any moment or practice it in the same way. But
and not
giving...
try and convince them of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're lousy change agents for our spouses. Don't try and get them to live different. But you can keep talking about it and
yes.
be supportive of your wife's journey or your husband's journey. Keep being supportive of them and don't make them see what you're not seeing. Let God show it to them in his time.
Well, it has to be that he shows them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the tendency is, I want this. I want my partner
yes.
to come along.
Yes.
And then that
yeah.
manipulation. I always find manipulation pushes people further away from the
oh,
very
yeah,
thing.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That
yeah.
it makes them hide.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, anything else you want to say to this crusty bunch? Anything that God's been doing in you? I know you've listened to some of the podcasts, so you know some of what we've talked about. Anything else on your heart before we end?
Not that I can think of, no.
Okay. Well, thanks for letting us do this. I know you're not nuts about being interviewed and putting
no,
on a microphone
really.
Here and sitting around trying to talk. I know it's been difficult for you. But I think things you've said are going to be very encouraging to people at a variety of stages on this journey. And if you want to check out more of Lynette's writings, unveiling.org, some of the things that are close to her heart that might be helpful to you. And if you haven't read Austin Sparks before, you might go there. And if somebody's coming to your website for the first time, the Austin Sparks website, It's austin-sparks.net. What article, what book would you kind of push people towards?
I wouldn't. I would say listen to the Spirit and go by
the Spirit. I always push people, but that's probably a good answer.
Well, I think it will be different for different people depending on where they're at in the journey. And it's always a good learning thing if they're actually listening out to see what the Spirit wants them to
do. Oh, yes, you know what? So I was going to make a recommendation, but now I'm not.
Thanks for traveling with us today on The God Journey. If you'd like to join the conversation, we'd appreciate your comments or your questions by email or at our website, thegodjourney.com. Stop by today and join the conversation.